This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley, plus Brian Sexton and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are sponsored by EverBank. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
Good evening and welcome into the HananiahAutos.com studios at EverBank Field. Time for another edition of the Gus Bradley Show. Brian Sexton with you along with my broadcast partner, Jeff Loggeman, and the Jaguars head coach, Gus Bradley. Also here, taking your phone calls and keeping everything moving along, is executive producer Joe Fortunato. The phone number, if you'd like to touch base with him, and then on to the coach, 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Time to say good evening to the head coach. How are you tonight, Gus?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Good.
Doing good. You and Dave had a busy week.
Yeah, we have had a busy week.
Holy cow. Is that the most roster moves that you've had in any one week of the season?
I'm trying to think. It sure felt like it, you know, just trying to move people around and get enough guys and you know, on our active 53 and practice squad. So
at the very least, it was the most impactful players. You know, I mean, there are probably a lot of practice squad moves here and there, but putting Cecil down and Will Rackley going and Russell Allen, three starters in a given week. I mean, you really have to be adjusting on the fly, don't you?
Yeah, you know what? And that's what, you know, that's why you have a practice squad. You know, for injuries that take place during the year, you try to develop guys in the practice squad so they move up, they have their opportunity, and you know, it's that next man up mentality. And hopefully we developed them well enough so they can perform well.
Well, what a great challenge, you know, because last week you had a similar challenge with Jonathan Cyprien out and Maurice out, and Jordan Tottenham was a perfect example of a guy kind of capturing the opportunity, as you always say.
Yeah, you know what, and that's what it's all about. And, you know, generally when you see that, you know, guys, you hope they don't go out there and start a little bit slow, but that generally happens. They try to get a feel for the game, feel for the speed. It's a little bit different than practice. But then as you see the game go on, they get that comfort level. And then you start seeing their athleticism and their preparation pick up. And they, you know, they got a chance to perform.
Well, and speaking of those two guys, Maurice Jones-Drew and Jonathan Cyprien, where are they at?
Well, hopefully we can both they can both practice tomorrow. We'll take a look at. I know Jonathan was making some good progress. Mojo, you know, hopefully we can get him out there to practice. I know he wanted to practice today. We just are trying to hold him back and see. It's such a, you know, the injury didn't take place that long ago, and he's trying to speed it up. We're trying to speed it up, but it's one of those things you got to be a little bit patient. We're trying to hold on as much time as we can.
Well, you know, if I'm Mojo, I want to get back out there also. I mean, the offensive line and the running game seem to be working in sync like they haven't all season. 159 yards last week with his backup out there on the field.
Yeah, you know what? And he's so competitive that he wants to get out there. And you know, it's just different when you're out there with your teammates and you're playing. There's a certain adrenaline rush that all our guys really gravitate towards, and he's no different.
Well, and when the backup gets 109 yards rushing, hey, let me get back out there.
Drives even more competitiveness. Yeah, you can't really take anything away from him. He wants to get out there and play, but it doesn't hurt to have a little external motivation like that for you.
You know, he's kind of a guy that likes to play with a chip on his shoulder, but I wouldn't call it a chip. I'd call that a log.
Yeah, well, let's expand on that real quick. You know, the last couple of weeks before he got injured, you know, Dave Caldwell said on a radio show that there's a chance that we can work something out to bring him back next year. He's been talking a lot about the culture in the locker room. I mean, I think that he would want to get back out and play just because he's such a central part of what you're doing in there.
He really is, you know, and there's another. We talked about Brad Meester. I'm sure we will sometime in this show. But you know, Mojo's been the same type of guy in our locker room. Really helps with the message. So fortunate to have him. I know I speak to him quite a bit, quite often, and you just trust him. And I think, you know, players have certain roles, and some have multiple roles, and that's a guy like Mojo for us, both on the field, in the locker room with their players. So important.
What's the greatest thing that Maurice adds to your offense? I mean, besides being a runner. What does he do best?
Well, I think, you know, our offensive line feels him back there. He's so complimentary to the offensive line. You know, if he has a big run, he's first to credit the offensive line, and they know when he's back there that there's a chance, you know, with him. And they know he can get the tough yards. Not only that, yards after contact. You know, they know the type of style of runner he is. So, you know, all those things go hand in hand. I think they really operate together well.
You know, I can remember Tony Boselli was sitting in that seat about 2 years ago. Mo was coming off of his NFL leading season in 2011, and both you and he, Jeff, talked about how you'd come out of retirement to play with a guy like that, his competitive nature. And I think that people feed off of that. I mean, he's that guy that even if he's not killing it every single game, he's a guy that wants to on every single play.
Well, yeah. Ideally, we want to build this roster full of guys that love football, that are extremely competitive. and enjoy the whole process. And, you know, that's what we want. And when you talk about that, Mojo loves football, extremely competitive. You know, we just need to continue to get his opportunities. And I think, you know, to Mojo's defense, you know, that was a tough injury he had last year, and he came off of that. You know, usually he prepares so hard in the off season, and I'm sure it was frustrating for him not to be able to prepare like he did. And you're seeing him as the season goes on, you know, where he's getting more and more comfortable, getting more and more yards off his carries, yards after contact. So it takes time, but, you know, we're pleased with his progress.
It was easy to see that his replacement did a really good job. I mean, running backs you can measure in numbers. Jonathan Cyprian's absence last week. Winston Guy has to step up. How did that group do overall?
Well,
the safety position?
Yeah, you know what? You know, with Winston, you know, he truly is, he has the body type of a strong safety. When Jonathan was playing so well, Sip, you know, we had him. The way to get Winston on the field was to train him at free safety. So for a couple weeks there, excuse me, that's all he played was free safety. Then all of a sudden the injury popped up, and we really didn't know. We thought maybe we could get Jonathan back, you know, so now he has 2 days to prepare at strong safety. So with all that in mind, I think that he played better and better as the game went on. Winston's pretty sharp as far as knowing both responsibilities. But overall, you know, I think we played solid. And, you know, if you'd ask the DBs, they know that we can improve. And this week presents a great challenge.
Yeah, and I don't want to put all of that on him because obviously it was kind of a group effort. Josh Evans was in there. Chris Przinski was in there. But that was a group that I thought that they clearly missed the starter in that case.
Well, yeah, you know what? And, you know, for whatever reason, you know, and we talked about that the second quarter we didn't play very well defensively. But what I like and appreciate is that we did tighten things up. The players recognized it. They admitted it that we didn't play that well. And they came out in the third and fourth quarter and played much better.
Now, in that ball game, Winston Guy has an opportunity to hit a young wide receiver of the Buffalo Bills, and he does. Got penalized for it, defenseless receiver. And I'm going to look at this play for Film Room Friday tomorrow, but my argument is if you're a defensive back in the National Football League, how do you not try to make a play in that instance? Because if you turn it down, you're going to get hammered by your coach.
Right. You know what? It's a process now. I mean, it starts back in OTAs and training camp where you show clips of what is legal and what is illegal. And, you know, the big the talk is the concussions that are taking place, any head-to-head contact, really any type of hit to the head is really what the NFL and we as coaches are discouraging. So you watch a lot of tape, you try to train your guys, but it is difficult. You know, the receiver drops his head, you make contact, still head-to-head. And there's, you know, a lot of challenges taking place, but we just got to follow the rules.
All right, much more to come here on this evening's edition of the Gus Bradley Show. You can visit Jaguars.com, by the way, and check out Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush, and get caught up on all the latest Jaguars news 24/7, plus a chance to win the ultimate Jags game day experience. More to come with the head coach on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, and head coach Gus Bradley. Jaguars and Titans finish out the home schedule for 2013 Sunday. It's a 1 o'clock kick, which means for those of you in Jacksonville, the Publix tailgate show starts at 10 a.m. For those of you on the network, we pick you up for Jaguars pregame at noon, then whistle-to-whistle coverage starting with kickoff all the way through the postgame show.
Have you guys gotten an update, any more information on how Cecil Shorts' surgery went and also Mike Brewster's surgery?
Yeah, you know what? I just received a text from Cecil. I haven't had a chance to talk to Mike in depth, but all hearings is that it went really well. So, you know, those are good news, you know, and same with Brew. We'll find out more as they come along. But, you know, I'm just happy that, you know, they got in so fast. You know, because a frustrating thing for an athlete is they want to start that rehab process as fast as possible. And to get them in there, get this going so that, you know, we have them, you know, early in the spring is a good thing. So, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with them both.
Was Brewster's injury similar to the injury that your first-round picks have suffered earlier this year?
You know what? There's, you know, I think there's some similarities. Again, that would be a question for Mike. I know that, you know, it was an unfortunate injury, you know, and there's a lot to it. And, you know, but hopefully everything went good, and he's on the road to recovery.
All right, so Cecil's down. Kerry Taylor gets a start He's had the opportunity, a couple catches last week for 42 yards. Obviously, Ace has been a factor all season long. Mike Brown is there. Jeremy Ebert was wearing a boot on the practice field today. I mean, who's going to play wide receiver for you, Coach?
Well, you know what? We've got, you know, some guys. Those guys are going to get the majority of reps. You know, we're pleased with how they've come along. But, you know, we're going to have to bring some guys up off the practice squad. And, you know, we'll do that. We'll see. You know, Ebert got hurt in practice the other day with an ankle sprain. So, you know, we'll find some guys that can fit in there. And you'd like to get at least four up, and we'll find a way to get that done.
How difficult is it for Jed Fish to put together a game plan, you know, in a week like this? You know, I mean, so many different personnel things have changed. And as a coordinator, if you know what your options are, at least you got an idea of what you can formulate.
Well, the challenge is, you know, that you try to utilize everybody's strengths. And when you have new personnel in there, and, you know, if you pick them up off of waivers and you're trying to get them ready in a week, that's really difficult. The fortunate thing for us is that, you know, we've worked with these guys, and we do know them. So we know what they can do and what they can't do, and, you know, we'll try to put them in those strengths as much as possible.
Now, I know earlier in the year you were talking about how your practice squad guys were taking reps with the offense and defense, not just the look teams. Have you guys been able to continue to do that throughout the season, or when you do elevate a guy like a Drew Nowak or maybe a wide receiver this week, that he can come in and he knows it because he's repped it during the year?
Yeah, you know what? They don't get as many reps on practice squad. Normally they're on service team, but they're in the meetings and they're hearing the terminology and they're taking notes. So what they're missing out on is actually the physical reps. But when you feel like some injuries are taking place, you try to get them, you know, a rep here or there and just keep them involved so that it really, you know, stimulates them in meetings so they really pay attention.
You know, you mentioned get a guy off the street, try to find a way to work him in. Gerald Rivers is a guy that you picked up off of waivers from St. Louis. And it brings me to the point, have you heard the story about Mike Thomas, the cornerback, who was on the Niners practice squad that was picked up by Miami last week? Not only made the game-saving interception, but forced that play by breaking up a pass on second down. Have you heard that story?
No, you know what? But those stories take place now.
You bet.
They really do. They take place. And that's, you know, really we talked to our players at the bye week. We said, you know what, the next, you know, 6-7 weeks, whatever the case, there's going to be a lot of stories that are taking place. We don't know what they are right now, but it's going to be really cool at the end to talk about these things. And we're seeing them happen right in front of us, and we'll have more stories that take place this Sunday.
So how about dealing with Brad Meester this week with it being his last home game? How's that been?
It's been great. You know, I think, you know, for me as the head coach, I think it was an opportunity for this week. You know, we've taken a little portion of our team meeting, maybe 2-3 minutes, and we've just done a, you know, a background of Brad Meester. We showed him growing up and where he was born and his house. We got pictures. Somehow we got pictures of all this stuff.
And we got some resourceful people.
You know, but the players laugh and jab at him. But the part of it is it's really cool. He deserves every bit of it. And, you know, it's really cool to see all the things. I mean, gas was $1.26 when he got drafted. You know, there's a lot of things that have changed. But just how important he's been to this team and this organization is really a credit.
Well, and both of you can touch on this. There have only been 61 offensive linemen in the history of the league who have played at least 200 games. And we're talking about a long history of the league now. That's a very demanding, physically difficult position to play for 207. When he finishes out, it'll be 209 games. That's a lot of football.
Yeah, it is. You know, and it shows too. I mean, he really controls our offensive line. He makes the calls. I mean, all that wisdom playing for all those years has really benefited our young offensive line.
What have you learned from him? Yeah, because, you know, you had always talked about how you've learned things from different players. Derek Brooks, you brought him up. What have you learned from Brad?
Well, you know what? When I first met Brad, he was quiet. He was very professional. Come in early, leave late. And, you know, I found out that you don't have to be the loudest guy in the locker room to acquire the leadership that, you know, you're striving to get. He just came in and really worked hard, and I think the guys really respected him for that, and they gravitated towards him. But he's just such a great man. I mean, really, really balanced, really, really has a perspective about him. And, you know, we talk about treat adversity and prosperity same. He's a classic example of that.
What was it like when he came in to talk to you about this is it?
Well, you know what? He came in. We were supposed to meet at 9:30, and I purposely showed up a little bit late, you know, hoping that he'd say, "Oh, Gus isn't here," and turn around and leave. But it was tough. It was tough for both of us. You know, I can only imagine how he felt. Someone that put all his heart and soul into this organization. I had the benefit to work with him for a year. So it was both, you know, we didn't cry. It was nothing like that, but it was emotional. You could really feel it. And we just talked. And, you know, you have so much respect for him that you just kind of lead him through it, because I knew how difficult it was for him.
Well, it's a great story. You're talking about a guy who shows up from Northern Iowa in the second round. Brad, who? And yet he's able to leave the game on his own terms and to create the life that he wants. He's got a piece of property he's going back to in Iowa. He's going to go to motorcycle repair school down in Daytona and open a shop and do what he wants, kind of like another guy that I know.
That's right. You know what? I was at North Dakota State back in 2000, you know, in the time when he came out. And I can remember up there, you know, because that's how schools operate that are 1AA and 2. If someone gets drafted, if someone gets drafted at that level, everybody knows about it. And I can remember Northern Iowa, that was close to North Dakota State. When he got drafted, everybody, you know, I can still remember his name being mentioned. So, you know, it's really been a cool process to have the ability to work with them.
Good for Brad. All right, folks, we need to take a break. We'll come back with more with head coach Gus Bradley after this on Jaguars Radio.
Hey.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Hi, the Gus Bradley Show is brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished, Jaguars and Titans on Sunday afternoon. You'll hear it all right here on the Jaguars Radio Network.
I think the real shame of the National Football League is that, you know, you'd like the team to be able to maybe give a player of Brad Meester's stature, you know, maybe a parting gift. In today's day and age, you can't do it anymore with the salary cap. I mean, that would have to be factored in. That's ridiculous.
It is. You know, a guy that has given so much to the league, so much to the organization. But generally, you know, the players try to do something to help him out. And, you know, we'll see how it all unfolds. But, if anybody deserves something, it's him.
I know he's wanting a tractor.
Well, I don't know if he'll get a tractor.
Exactly. Did he mention what model he was looking at?
5525.
Yeah, I had a feeling on that one. Anyway, he rides off into the
John Deere
into the sunset on Sunday the 29th. He's got one final home game in that Sunday, and I think they're planning on doing a little something after the game on the field just to acknowledge him. So.
Yeah, I think, you know what, the biggest thing with Brad is I told the players that, you know what, it's not like it's goodbye or anything like that. It's just, but we want to make sure that we enjoy it. Let's enjoy these next 2 weeks with them. When you're walking out to the field and you see him ahead of you, walk up to him and walk out with him, you know, and just visit with them. And, like I mentioned before, have a genuine appreciation for what he's done.
Now, he gets a Titans line this week that has one of the best interior tackles that we've seen all season long at Jarrell Casey. He just continues to drive. He's got 10.5 sacks, the most for an interior offense or defensive lineman for the Titans since they were the Oilers when Ray Childress was playing.
Right. We have a saying, big men that can run show up on tape. And that's what he's all about. You know, he's very good in the interior. I mean, to have that many sacks in the inside really jumps out at you. And you know what? It puts him in the category of one of the best, you know, three techniques in the league. So, you know, you got a handful. And it's just no different than J.J. Watt. You know, a guy that's disruptive, can make a lot of plays on the inside. And, you know, the challenge is a lot of times that guard over the top of him is in a one-on-one. And that's the challenge. You can't chip a three technique, you know, with the back. So that's why he's been so effective.
Well, you can chip on the way out every now and again. I felt them before. Jock McClendon's going to see him as well. I mean, from watching the tape, Gus, he's a strong guy. I mean, he's bounced around on practice squads, active roster, been on and off your roster maybe, what, four times this year. Now he got his opportunity, played. He looks like he's got heavy hands. It looks like he's got great balance.
You know what? Those two qualities right there. You know, he's got a strong base, heavy hands, good balance. You know, the heavy hands is really something that intrigues us. That's really what you're looking for in a guard. And he's so strong, just a great, great competitor. And I think he's only going to get better now, too. I think he's, you know, once he tastes it a little bit, he wants to go in there and compete more. Hopefully, you know, he has a chance to improve.
Explain to people what heavy hands means. Because, you know, when I went to college, I found out firsthand when I took a hit by John Trashcan Burns in the first live action drill of my college career. But explain to people what that means.
Well, you know, you just have a lot of impact. You can put, you know, have a lot of impact. You have the ability to keep your hands inside and really dominate an opponent on the inside. And, you know, you're looking for control. And you got to make sure your hands don't get in the outside. He has the ability to keep his hands in tight, you know, deliver a blow, and then control the defense alignment. And you look for things like that from the interior guys.
You know, the communication between Cam Bradfield and Jock McClendon, I mean, that's got to be the most interesting part of it all, Coach, because you're talking about a guy in Cam Bradfield who's only making his, you know, 10th start over there at left tackle, and now he's got a guard in there that he hasn't really worked with. Do they get time in practice together? Where does the communication, the cohesiveness come in?
Well, it comes in practice, and it comes in when we do walkthroughs, and it comes when we do, you know, in their individual position meetings with George. You know, they communicate in those meetings. You've heard George talk about, you know, that he wants his offensive line meeting room where there's a lot of conversation, a lot of feedback, a lot of talk taking place in the offensive line meeting room, because that's what takes place on the field. So I think you're trying to really compete in all those areas, the locker room, the meeting room, on the field, and hopefully it speeds up the progress.
All right, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. And our broadcast this evening is brought to you by PRI Productions. We're back after this on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
All right, rolling right along here with the head coach. Jeff Loggeman is alongside. You can join us, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Jeff, I know you burned up the tape. What did Ryan Fitzpatrick show you? I mean, he threw for 402 yards, four touchdowns, two picks.
The thing that worries me the most, Gus, is his ability to extend the play. And he makes some good decisions. Now, look, he threw two interceptions against Arizona Cardinals, but his ability to buy time.
Yeah, you know what? And some of those interceptions, we call them tips and overthrows. You know, it might be where it's a deflected pass or, you know, he makes good decisions, and he really controls the tempo of that offense. You sense they have a certain poise and confidence when he's in the game. We felt that in our first game. He's their second leading rusher, so extend the play and the ability to run, you know, if needed. So, you know, he poses a lot of threats. He's a guy that can really add up the numbers quickly, you know, if given the time.
And he's got to qualify as a smart guy. I mean, he went to Harvard, right? I mean, wouldn't you have to say that he's smart?
Yeah, it shows it on
tape. Do they have any Prop 48 guys at Harvard?
No. And I've never heard of anybody making it into Harvard on athletic ability alone. So I'm guessing that he is. And we've seen him over the years. He was in Buffalo.
They don't even have
Prop
48 anymore, do they? Got a bunch of them in North Dakota,
Prop 48 in Harvard.
You're pulling it way, way back out. You know, that offense up in Tennessee had always been a tight end-centric offense. You know, for the years that we've seen them, whether it was Frank Wycheck or whoever they had following in there. But it appears now they're kind of go outside. And they drafted Justin Hunter. Didn't play last week, but he's a big play guy. We saw a 40-yard catch. You know, what do you see from these offense and how it's evolved, Logs?
To me, it's different. It's different because for so many years, Chris Johnson was the focal point. I don't think he is anymore.
Yeah, you know what? You know, they got Delanie Walker, who they're very, you know, who's an impressive tight end for them. You know, so any offense like that, if you can control the middle with the tight end, it makes you that much more effective than to have the type of athletes they have on the outside. So I think they're trying to utilize all them. You know, you always got to try to manage the run. You got to slow the run down. And in this case, you know, Tennessee, I don't think mind being so much one-dimensional, you know. But it's tough in the NFL to do that consistently.
For so many years, when teams prepared for the Tennessee Titans for the last 5 years, for the most part, they went in that game saying we've got to stop Chris Johnson because he put the fear in most coaches because of his big playability. Does he still instill that type of thought process with defensive coordinators?
It's the first thing that we watch. You know, we analyze all the runs, the styles of runs, his running style, you know, where he's effective, how does he make his cuts when he's in the open field. He gathers that much attention. And, you know, because at any time, any game, he can have a breakout game. And you've got to eliminate explosive plays with their running game. And if you can slow that down a little bit and get enough guys around the ball and hit them, it seems like it's not quite as effective.
Well, what were we talking about in the game up in Tennessee? Cut back, cut back, cut back.
He doesn't like to hit it sometimes.
He's always looking for that cutback.
To me, hit him in the mouth.
Yeah, well, you try to get 11 guys there, and, you know, when you say the cutback, you know, that's what we call protect the edges. You know, you've really got to have a solid foundation on the edges and get it turned back inside to where the heart of your defense is.
What do you see in Kendall Wright, their wide receiver? Last week against the Cardinals, he had, what, 150 yards receiving, 12 catches. Seemed like Ryan Fitzpatrick was looking at him almost every single play. He was last year's first-round pick. You know, but he's only averaging about 10 yards a catch. Is he a guy that you worry about?
Yeah, you know, because, you know, he's, what, 190 pounds, but he's got good speed, and he's effective. And he gains confidence the more and more targets he has and more catches he has. So, you know, he's a guy that can make big plays for him. You just don't want him to gain any momentum because he is that style of receiver.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. You're listening to the Gus Bradley Show. Jaguars and Titans come up to close out the home schedule here at Everbank Field on Sunday afternoon. 1 o'clock kickoff, 10 o'clock for you in Jacksonville for the Public's Tailgate Show. And the network comes on at noon.
All right, so I read a quote, and it was totally anti-Gus Bradley this week. You know, so I'm reading the script from the head coach of the Tennessee Titans.
Mike Munchak.
And he's talking about the Jaguars coming up this week, and he says, we owe them. And he's talking about the loss in Tennessee in which you guys were able to have, what was it, 4 takeaways. You ended up getting a safety. And I just, you know, I said to myself, I said, you know, I don't know if I'd ever hear Gus say that. We owe them.
Right. Well, there's different philosophies, and, you know, which one is right and which one is wrong, that's for other people to judge. But, you know, I know that we focus our attention on what we have to do, and you know, regardless, you know, we don't want to use that type of motivation 1 week and then have to find another motivation the next week. You know, our motivation is to be the best we can be. And, you know, that's what we put our efforts in. And we really can't control what other teams say or how they approach it. And we just feel like, you know, we're comfortable in our area and how we approach the game.
All right, time for a break. We'll take it now. Come back with more with the head coach after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Rolling right along here on the Gus Bradley Show. Jaguars and Titans on Sunday. We'll be here next Thursday, by the way. Just a regular week for you guys. How's the Christmas week work for you? I mean, do you try to, like Thanksgiving, get guys out of here early on
We try. You know, sometimes it's out of our control as far as how much time we can give the players, but it happens to fall on a Wednesday. So what we'll do is move our, you know, normally the players have Tuesday day, that's their day off.
Right.
We'll practice on Tuesday.
Okay.
And we'll make it quick, and then we'll use Wednesday as their day off. That way they get Christmas Eve at home, they get Christmas Day. It works out really to their benefit and to our benefit.
How about the coaches?
Well, we got to spend a little bit more time maybe than the players, but my hopes is to let them to, you know, get some time at home on Christmas.
So what's your greatest Christmas gift memory?
Wow, you really put me on the spot.
A little off the football field
sure.
here. But you know what I mean? It's
You know what? I think I can just remember, you know, always we had an older house in my hometown, and being upstairs and waking up at 2 in the morning for that bike, and 3 in the morning and coming downstairs and, you know, waiting to see if Santa came, and, you know, just hoping to get that bike and come around the corner. And you can probably imagine my outburst when it happened, when I saw that bike. But, you know, it's cool things like that take place. And now to have kids and see them go through the same things, it's awesome.
I remember mine. I got a G.I. Joe headquarters. That was the first year I figured out, you know.
That does not
don't
surprise
say it,
me.
Bob. Don't say it. Yeah, right. Exactly. Don't say it. There might be some kids listening. Be careful.
You had the kung fu grip.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. One of my fondest memories. What do you want for Christmas this year?
You know what? I think at this point in time, you're just thankful for health, you know, and you know, you're thankful for your team. I mean, that's what someone asked me with some of the coaches. I said, I don't need anything, you know, other than just to see our team, you know, be together with them. And, you know, that's like Christmas and being together with your family. And, you know, you just hope that everybody can have a good Christmas in this whole city.
Hopefully everyone does. And hopefully
that's right.
Sunday afternoon they enjoy it at the stadium. Let's take a break. We'll come back. More to come with the head coach. We'll go all the way through till 7 o'clock. For those of you listening here in Jacksonville, stay tuned. Tony Boselli, Mark Brunell roll in for Jaguars Thursday from 7 o'clock until 8 o'clock. Kind of strange this evening. No Thursday night football. We've gotten used to that. as it's been on all season long. The Gus Bradley Show continues after this on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
All right, let's take a couple calls, and let's start with Eric, who joins us from Green Cove Springs. Eric, you're on with the head coach. Good evening.
Hey, guys. Hey, coach. Thanks for taking my call.
How you doing, Eric?
Very well. Thank you very much. I am a longtime NDSU fan from Fargo, North Dakota, living in Green Cove Springs.
Did you hear that, Logs? Did you hear that, man? We got a bison in the house.
And I heard it was a Fargo,
Yeah, Fargo, eh? And back in the day, watching the games at Kona Field, where I learned my first swear word playing the Sioux, and Ed Schultz getting a beer thrown at him during the games and things like that. But I have a question for you. Number one, where are you watching the game tomorrow night? Because I know you're watching the game. Number two, do you see any NFL, anything with Brock Jensen coming into the NFL? Is he good enough to play in the NFL?
You know what? I'll hit that second question first.
Now,
you
who
know,
is that?
That's the quarterback.
Those who don't know, okay.
Yeah, he's All-American quarterback. Yeah, he's led them to two national championships. They're on their drive to go
week.
For a third.
He had a phenomenal game last week. They rolled that team they played.
You know what?
Coastal Carolina.
I'm almost embarrassed to say that I have not had the opportunity to watch much of NDSU. And I know some of the coaches up there and have had some conversations with them. But, you know, all accounts, what I hear from, I know he's been a great player for him. So it'll be fun to evaluate him as we go through the draft process. And then where I'll be watching, I hope, it might be another game I might have to miss because of other obligations.
What else
but,
do you have to do? Yeah. I mean, coach a football team, you know.
But, you know, I'm always pulling for him. But that's great. I know you're a true NDSU guy. All those stories you have right there, just those quick hitters on the Ed Schultz. I know you've been there for some great games.
Appreciate the phone call. Let's roll along to Fleming Island, staying on the same side of the river, and bring Steve onto the program. Hello, Steve.
Hey, happy holidays, gentlemen. How are you guys doing this evening?
Doing great, Steve. How about you?
Doing wonderful. Got a quick question. You know, we don't know the contract situation in the future for Mojo. I just thought, you know, from a fan's point of view, you know, might be his last game. Is there any chance that you could, even if he can't give it a go, you could still kind of trot him out through the tunnel and let the fans get on their feet and get into giving him a, you know, a pretty big ovation? And you know, same thing for Meester, of course, but I know he's battling that hamstring. I think it would be really cool, even if he can't give it a go, if he can still come through the tunnel and you know, let the fans kind of, you know, appreciate the time and effort he's put in. And you know, if he's not back next year, at least we you know, we're able to give him a nice round of applause for the years of service that he gave.
Right.
I really enjoy the show, guys, and you guys have a Merry Christmas.
You too.
Steve kind of talking like him like he's done. I mean, he might play this week.
Yeah, you know what? And you know, first of all, as far as the future, we don't know, you know, what that holds. And, you know, Dave Caldwell will have some decisions as well as myself. But right now, our complete mindset is we're trying to get to see if Mojo can go tomorrow, you know, and get him some reps. And, you know, I know Mike Ryan, our trainer, is doing a great job with them. But really, that's Mojo's mindset, too. Like I said, he really wanted to practice today. We just, you know, we had to hold him back with the hopes that we're doing what's right to get him ready to play on Sunday.
When it comes to a player, and especially a hamstring like that, how much does the player get a say in whether he plays or not on Sunday?
Well, you know, Mojo wants to play. But you got to take him out in the field. You've got to do some light running and just see how it responds. And, you know, it's hard because Mike has to see through what the player says and really evaluate what he sees and his performance on the field doing some of that return-to-play protocol that we have. But it's a challenge. You really try to get every minute of the day. You know, we may go up to Sunday, you know, 91 minutes beforehand and try to make that decision. So we'll give him as much time, hopefully, to get him back out there.
Did you ever have a hamstring?
Yes.
Did you really?
Yeah.
What was it like?
It's painful. You know, it's painful. It's just, you know, you just can't wait for those that week or week and a half to go by where it finally feels where you're out of that pain. And you just know that you can't extend your leg, you can't run. You know, that's what's amazing to me now, how these athletes are coming back a lot faster. I mean, it's been a short period of time for him, and for us to expect him to play, it's amazing that we're even having those types of conversations.
355 NFL1, do you have a hamstring?
I never did. I never did.
You got to really run now. You got to really run.
Wow.
That
was
you got to lead the league in effort to get one of those now.
I had a groin.
That's all you got to do to get the groin.
Yeah.
We're leaving that one off.
Camp Coughlin there the first year. That was the only muscle pull I ever had, besides tearing one off the bone. I don't think that qualifies.
No, I don't think that qualifies either. But everything else does.
Yeah.
Dr. Loggeman. 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap up this edition of the Gus Bradley Show. You're listening to Jaguars Radio. All right, a couple minutes left with head coach Gus Bradley here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Let's grab Trevor, who's in St. John's, with a thought. Hello, Trevor. Welcome. You're on with the head coach.
Hi, Coach. Guys, thanks for having me.
Hi, Trevor.
Hello. Coach, I was at the game with the Buffalo Bills, and I had a question as far as Mercedes Lewis. And I noticed that Chad Henne threw a nice ball to him, and he was able to make some plays, including getting that touchdown late in the game. And having a guy, Mercedes Lewis, being so big and having, like, on uneven matchups, how come we don't get the ball to him that much when he only averages like 3 or 4 receptions a game?
Yeah, you know what? We're trying to find ways to utilize Mercedes. You know, he had the one, where it was kind of a bang-bang play where he had another opportunity. But, he's so good at the point of attack, and then now he's having some success catching the ball. We're looking for opportunities. And sometimes, you know, with man or zone coverages, if you get where they're skewing the linebacker to him and the safety skewed to him, you know, you just got to go off your progression. But I think what Jed does a nice job is he tries to manipulate things formation-wise to get one-on-one matchups. And that's what you saw in the end zone on the play he made for a touchdown.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but in case Trevor missed the conversation you had earlier this week with the media when you were talking about the running game, how dominant a blocker is Mercedes? How critical is he to what you do in the running game?
Well, just look how effective we've been when he's been back healthy and able to play. And he's really playing at a high level at the point of attack. I know talking with, Ron Middleton and Jed and George, they're really, really pleased with where he's at. And I think, if you look back and why have we had more success in the run game, a lot of it is attributed to Mercedes.
I love the play design, the one that he caught going down the seam where you fake left, you fake right, and then you try to get that defense to split, and it was a one-on-one opportunity with Mercedes against Jairus Byrd. That was a great play design.
It was. You know, we hit it early in the game and momentum was going our way. We followed up. We didn't capture it with an interception. But we came back to it, a similar design play. And I know Jed and I talked about it on the sideline, and it's hard for offensive coordinators to want to repeat a style of play like that. But, there's many coordinators that will do it. They call it repeat successful plays somewhere in the game. And we came back with that, complete it, and we just, got a bang-bang play.
Yeah, I think that was the one you went back to. It was the bang-bang play where he couldn't hold on to it.
Couldn't hold on, yeah. Safety made a good play on it, mm-hmm. But we had an opportunity.
You all right?
Yeah, good.
Final quick thought. They have a new return man, a guy that you know, Leon Washington.
Yeah, Jacksonville native.
Yeah, absolutely. Jackson High.
I can remember when I was at Seattle and took the job at Jacksonville, he was one of the first guys that texts me, and a great player now. He can really change the game in a hurry. Does a good job at returning. Really has a knack for it. Gets north and south. Good punt returner, too. So we'll have our hands full with him.
And his numbers are good. I mean, you look at his numbers this year. He played a ton because he was injured, I guess, up in New England. But when you look at the numbers, he's been very effective.
Yeah, he can pop one at any time now. So I know Mike Mallory has been very attentive in watching him on tape.
Scobie's been kicking the ball well off the tee, so hopefully he can keep that one going and keep him out of the game.
Yeah, that's the best defense.
Hey, how's Scobie's hip, by the way? Looked good last week.
Yeah, he's fine. He's fine.
Five yards, love it. And, of course, he has a golf analogy for it. All right, that'll do it. Coach, thanks so much. We appreciate you.
Okay,
as
thank
always,
you.
Head coach
okay.
Gus Bradley, folks. If you're in Jacksonville, stay tuned. Brunel, Bastelli are in for Jaguars Thursday next.
What's up? How you doing?